Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for April 22, 2015. I'm Elizabeth Nonemaker. Hundreds of low-income renters and advocates gathered on the South Lawn steps of City Hall this morning to protest the high cost of rental units.
As rents are going up, the cost of living is also going up, and there's also people are not making enough money to meet that. We're having also a problem of homelessness.
They're trying to kick people out of my area simply so that they can remodel and then raise the prices of the units.
Having access to affordable housing is a basic human right, and when people are getting evicted and displaced, it's really a social injustice.
The protest happened close to the first anniversary of the Renters Day LA movement, which hopes to establish annual improvements in housing prices. Today, the LA City Council ordered reports on measures that would beef up oversight of apartment repairs and require landlords to report any changes to rental rates. City Councilman Gilbert Cedillo pushed for the new policies. Today is Earth Day, and Metro says one way to be kind to the Earth is to ride on public transportation. The agency dumped a truckload of waste to show how public transportation can reduce one person's carbon footprint by 4,800 pounds of emissions. Metro's own sustainability initiatives will take those carbon reductions even further. Here's Stephanie Wiggins of Metro.
Because when you go Metro, you're partnering with one of the greenest transportation agencies in the country. We're committed to keeping you moving with as little impact on the environment as possible.
Metro unveiled new water conservation initiatives, clean fuel plans, and its first electric bus. The agency will soon start testing the zero-emission vehicle on the road and could order 20 more as part of a $30 million pilot program. We are just 2 days away from the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. President Obama has said he will not use the term genocide to recognize the mass killings that happened in 1915. Ani Ukar went to a commemoration on campus where CNN legal correspondent Mark Garagos spoke about the president's announcement. She joins us live in the studio now. Welcome, Ani.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What was the commemoration like?
So today people gathered, you know, to remember the lives lost during the 1915 Armenian Genocide. And, you know, originally it was meant to be just a simple commemoration. They had musicians there to play Armenian music. But it ended up being more of a discussion about the president's announcement yesterday that he has decided to not use the word genocide to describe those killings for another year in a row of his presidency. So there were people there just very upset about his decision because, you know, before he was elected into office, he promised that he would use the term genocide as his recognition for these killings. And every year since his presidency, he has failed to do so for a number of different reasons. But so it ended up being more of a discussion about that issue. And Mark Garagos was there speaking very passionately about this issue and demanding a response from the government as far as needing to recognize this on a national level.
And I understand we have a clip there as well.
Yes. This is CNN legal correspondent Mark Garagos talking about why exactly he feels this needs to happen and why it hasn't.
The reason the Turks don't want to recognize it, the reason they're so afraid of the R word recognition, is because they know that the next R word coming is reparations. And they don't want to do what Germany has done. They don't want to do what many of the European countries have done. They don't want to have to pay reparations. And so that's it. This fight over recognition is nothing more than a proxy fight for over restitution and reparations.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, Ani.
Thank you for having me.
Another candidate has joined the race for a seat on the LA County Board of Supervisors. Sarah Crevoy has more on the story.
Los Angeles City Councilman Mitchell Englander announced today that he will run for an open seat on the County Board of Supervisors. He will join seven other hopefuls in the race to replace 5th District Supervisor Michael Antonovich, who is being termed out after 36 years on the board. Englander is currently the only Republican on the City Council. In his two terms as city councilman, Englander has led action on issues of public safety, job creation, and fiscal planning. But he will face a competitive group of opponents, including Catherine Barger, Antonovich's top deputy. State Senator Robert Huff, County Prosecutor Alan Carr, and City Councilman Ara Najarian have also launched campaigns. If elected, Englander says he will focus on protecting taxpayers, cutting waste, preserving neighborhoods, and improving county services. Sarah Crevoy, Annenberg Radio News.
Researchers at USC have discovered a more effective treatment for an infant skull disorder by using stem cells instead of surgery. Craniosynostosis is a birth defect that causes the skull of an infant to fuse prematurely. Doctors have been treating it by breaking the skull apart and reassembling it. A more effective approach is to remove a strip of bone and then let stem cells take over the healing process. The discovery will also help veterans and others who have suffered from craniofacial injuries. A California Senate committee approved a controversial bill today that requires vaccinations for all school children. The decision paves the way for a new law that would eliminate religious and personal belief exemptions at public and private schools. Lawmakers delayed the vote last week, fearing the bill could prevent currently unvaccinated children from attending school. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that 79% of measles cases are caused by people who opt out of vaccines because of personal beliefs.
Sports Minute
with Max Holm.
As the Dodgers wait for September and the Lakers wait for a lottery pick, the Clippers are in action tonight, Game 2 NBA playoffs against the San Antonio Spurs. I've got one of Slam Magazine's interns with me covering the game tonight, Russell Simon. What's going to go down tonight between the Clippers and Spurs? Who's winning and why?
I've got my money on San Antonio, but it's kind of hard to give any statistical analysis of why based on what happened in Game 1. San Antonio got completely dominated in every facet, lost by 15. They shot 30% from behind the arc, 10 for 33. DeAndre Jordan was a huge factor inside, and they really could never get in a rhythm, and it was jarring to watch. Tonight, you just got to rely on Popovich and San Antonio and the veteran experience that they have, that they'll be able to snap out of it and play better.
I think the Spurs win tonight as well. I think this is a team that is going to play the basketball that they need to play. Popovich said they had a ton of things to fix, and when Pop sees a lot of room for improvement, you got to be scared on the other side of the ball. And I also think this team went 13 of 33 shooting uncontested shots. That rate is going to go up tonight. I think Spurs win. That's been it for the Sports Minute. Alongside Russell Simon, Max Holm, Annenberg Radio News.
Down by the beach, there is a new proposal in the works that could make Venice Beach topless. Russell Simon has more details.
Venice Beach is looking back to its European roots and is asking the LA City Council to let women sunbathe topless on the beach. In a 12-2 vote, the Venice Neighborhood Council approved the measure, calling the neighborhood a safe haven for liberal views and expression. Melissa Diner, a Venice Neighborhood Council community officer who sponsored the resolution, said she doesn't think the measure will result in a drastic change for the beach.
I just think it stays true to what we represent in Venice and what we always have. And I think that not very much would really change. I think that it's simply just a choice that we as women already make.
The city council does not have to approve the measure now that it has passed the neighborhood council, but the issue will now be forwarded to the LA City Council for review. Russell Simon, Annenberg Radio News.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody be served.
If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Morgan Greenwald with today's Root Source.
We all know of taxes as that portion of our hard-earned money that goes to the government. It is quite possibly one of the scariest and most dreadful words in the dictionary. But it was also the reason for the Boston Tea Party, which eventually led to our independence. We can pretty much all remember this from our elementary school social studies lessons.
Hey there, colonists, my name is King George. Will you give me money, pay the debt for the war? No taxation. Without representation.
Sure, the word tax is an important part of our history, but do we actually know where it comes from? While taxes are as old as civilization, the word only first appeared in the 14th century. The original Latin term, taxare, means to assess or appraise. Though it still carries the same basic definition, in the late 1600s, the word tax picked up a slightly negative connotation of something that is strenuous or challenging. Pretty ironic.
The passport of an American Samoan looks like any typical U.S. passport, except with one caveat. The last page reads, "The bearer is a United States national and not a United States citizen." These words have caused a decades-long debate between two nations separated by more than 4,000 miles of ocean. Victor Figueroa spoke to several American Samoans living in Southern California, where the largest Samoan population on the mainland resides.
Nearly 115 years ago, the leaders of a small group of islands known as American Samoa agreed to become part of the United States. The U.S. acquisition of the territory gave its people the freedom to live in the U.S. without a green card or visa. But unlike residents of other territories, American Samoans are categorized as U.S. nationals. So, they have to apply for citizenship and can't hold certain government jobs.
Give me that last rung of the ladder. I'm hanging in there. Let me get up there and enjoy what this nation gives its people. We're proud to be Americans and we want to be there with the rest of them.
That's retired U.S. veteran Chief Loa Pelefelatoga, a large man who speaks with a somber voice. He's one of many Samoan men who joined the military coming out of high school. According to the United States Army Recruiting Command, American Samoa has the number one ranked Army recruiting station out of any state or territory within U.S. jurisdiction. But one of the pitfalls of being a U.S. national is Samoans are restricted to certain ranks within each military branch. This limitation makes Chief Loa embarrassed to not be a citizen.
I'm doing everything I'm asked for. I go fight in the military to make sure that the livelihood of the Americans are protected. So I almost get that feeling like I'm being used. That's not a complete feeling. I'm proud. I'm here. I'm serving. And yet, I'm not being recognized.
Now Loa is prepared to fight. See, Chief Loa is also president of the Samoan Federation of America, a nonprofit based in Carson, California. And he's taken the U.S. to court. In Tuwawa versus the United States, five American Samoans are suing the U.S. government for citizenship rights. University of Southern California assistant law professor Sam Ehrman worked on a brief for the case. He argues all those born under U.S. sovereignty are citizens.
The Constitution is just clear on this point. That the text says if you're born in the United States and subject to its jurisdiction, you're a U.S. citizen. And that I think for the United States as a whole, it's important that the 14th Amendment retain that interpretation.
But not everyone believes the matter is even up to the courts. Reverend Misi Tagaloa of the Second Samoan Church says citizenship should be determined by the people living in American Samoa.
They want it to be a distance from becoming full citizens of the United States. They want to continue to hang on to their sovereignty and their culture and their land, which is something that will be democratized if they do become citizens of the United States.
In American Samoa, about 90% of the land is communally owned, and only those who are at least half Samoan can be landowners. But in the United States, private ownership is law, which Samoans fear could affect their way of life if they were to become citizens. But Ehrman says this fear is likely a case of popular thought exaggerating the legal consequences of citizenship. Territories like the Mariana Islands operate on a similar bloodline system of land ownership, yet its residents are U.S. citizens. Lawyer Michael Williams, who represents the Samoan U.S. government and the Samoan government in the case, says, why take the risk?
There's an interesting Samoan saying that says, this tree is not yet ripe. Don't cut it yet. This is the sort of thing where if courts make the wrong decisions, it could be irreversible.
Williams suggests alternatives to citizenship, like lowering the more than $600 application fee for naturalization, and addressing any discriminatory procedures towards Samoans.
It's easy for people to say, well, who doesn't want equality? Who doesn't want citizenship for everybody? But when you peel back a couple of layers, you can see, boy, the American Samoan people really don't want this. And right now they have a special status and they really want to preserve it. And that it's really a self-determination issue. It's not an equality issue.
A D.C. district court dismissed the case, but the decision currently is under review after being appealed. If necessary, the plaintiff says it will push the case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Victor Figueroa, Annenberg Radio News.
That That's it for today. Our board operator is Lexi McAvinci. Christian Brown is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Sean Birch. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Elizabeth Nonnemaker.